Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Say goodbye to a world of fun. Shocking violence. 25 cents. 25 cents. Put a quarter in the slot.
From newsounds.org, this is the Soundcheck Podcast, our series of live in-studio performances, streaming live on Facebook and YouTube. I'm John Schaefer. Jill Sobule's early reputation was built on some unlikely hit songs, the original I Kissed a Girl and Supermodel, but that was back in the 90s. Since then, Jill Sobule's reputation has been built on a series of records that show an artist making her own way in the music business, and among other things, she was an early adopter of the fan funding model of releasing records. Her latest album is called Nostalgia Kills, and it too was a fan-funded project. Maybe you know that. Maybe you're one of the people who funded it. Jill and her band have joined us once again here in the studio today to play some songs from that new record. This first one is called Where Do I Begin?
Okay. A 1, 2, 3, 4.
Where do I begin? Where do I begin? To clean up this mess I made, where do I begin? What corner of a room? I better pick up soon. Before I can't find myself, where do I begin? Cause over there is the ashes home, the bridges that I burn. And over there is the stack of the same lessons learned. And over there is my lover underneath the diamond. Where do I begin? Where do I begin? Where do I begin? To clean up this mess I made, where do I begin? What corner of a room? Better pick up soon. Before I can't find myself, where do I begin? Cause over there is the guitar with the broken string. And over there is the cat that I forgot to feed. And over there is a memory of a beautiful broken dream. Where do I begin?
Jill Sobule.
Hello.
very pleased with herself after shredding at the end of that song. Where Do I Begin is from her new record called Nostalgia Kills.
Well, I get so excited because I usually play solo, so it's such a treat for me to play
with your band.
Other guys, and these guys especially.
Well, yeah. Jeff McLaughlin also playing guitar, and Amanda Ruzza on the electric bass, and Caitlin Kalafus behind our drum kit and adding some backing vocals, and together they are...
Dinosaur Jr.
Oh, Jill.
I know. It'll be another name next time.
So I think the first time you were on our program was after California Years came out,
yes.
Which was 2009. It was a very, very early example of a fan-funded, you know, a kind of a crowdsourced.
It was one of the first.
Yeah, absolutely. Now it's become kind of a regular part of the arsenal of many independent musicians. Has something in the landscape changed in the 9 years between these two records?
Well, yeah. When I did it, I had no idea that anyone would donate. I mean, it really was. There was no Kickstarter. And a friend and I over a bottle of wine said, you know, I'm not going to get a big record deal. Let's you know, I have a small but mighty fan base. So we came up with the idea of donations at different levels. We had polished rock to weapons-grade plutonium. And all of a sudden it caught on, and it got on CNN, and it got, you know, what's this new crazy thing? And I remember I stopped it because Perez Hilton, remember Perez Hilton?
I think he's
still around.
Yeah.
He put
AKA
out a
Paris
mean,
Hilton.
Yes. He put out a mean thing on me with dollar signs, a horrible picture saying greedy, greedy, asking fans. But then a year later, everybody's doing it. But back then it seemed like it was so novel, so it was... Now you are inundated every day by someone with either Pledge or Kickstarter wanting you to help fund their things. And so I think it's harder.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot harder.
Well, one of the songs on the new record is called The Donor Song. And it is essentially you saying, these people gave me money. I said I was going to mention their names in a song, and here they are. Now, did Fred Savage, formerly of the Wonder Years, really kick in to the...
Yes, Fred Savage did. Same with Tom Bergeron from Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
And the highest level was, and it was a joke, for a certain amount of money that was pretty high, you will be my Lord and personal savior. And someone donated. Joss Whedon donated.
Really?
Joss Whedon, I just want to tell everyone, is my personal Lord and Savior.
Nice.
I know.
So this is your first solo record, and I need to make that distinction. It's not your first record since California Years, because you've done some other stuff, which we've heard on the show.
Yes.
But it is your first solo record since then. The last time you were here was with Dottie's Charm, which was a very different kind of collaborative process with authors.
It was an idea of working with some of my favorite authors, and they wrote the lyrics.
Right.
And usually I'm the lyricist.
Right.
And I would put music to it. And I had this charm bracelet, that the friend gave me that looks like it's from the 40s or 50s. And we call it Dottie because there is a charm that says Dottie, and it had 20 charms on it, and I gave a different charm to a different author, like Jonathan Latham and, mm-hmm. and Rick Moody, and for them to come up with a lyric for the charm, and then I would put music to it. And it was interesting because there was something similar about everyone. Dottie was just unrequited love.
Mm.
Dottie had a sad ass life, according to these songs. So they all kind of worked together, and it was a really interesting experience.
So coming at the songwriting process after so long, you know, doing it one way and then doing it this other way, did that have an effect on this current batch of songs?
It made me want to write lyrics again.
Mm.
I think there was a time period, actually, for a couple years where I didn't want to admit it to myself, but I had a hard time writing. Maybe I didn't want to write. Music was kind of, sometimes it's heartbreaking.
Hmm.
You know, when I'm a lifer, I have no marketable skills to do anything else. And it's a tough row. And I never quite made that, you know, like there's a song, Almost Great.
Yes.
And so it's just a tough row. But for the last year and a half, I love music again.
Hmm.
And I want to write.
Yeah. And so I'm not sure how much of a concept there was behind this album, but Nostalgia Kills does have a kind of retrospective cast to it. You know, it seems like there are some songs that seem to be actually revisiting moments from your childhood and adolescence.
Well, yes, it's kind of a retrospective of my life, but also one of the songs we were going to do, but we're not going to do, Nostalgia Kills, also a warning that says, have a good time with it today, but don't be stuck on it. And also, this was during the time over the last year and a half, I've been working on a one-woman show. We're working on and it called Hashtag F Word Seventh Grade. I caught myself. And it's really about the worst year of every girl's life, probably boy's life, that middle school, seventh or eighth grade. So there's a couple songs that I'm using for that. But yeah.
Huh. Were they written for the stage piece first or?
Around the same time.
Yeah. Okay. The idea that nostalgia can be a dangerous thing, I kind of like that because, you know, there aren't some artists who constantly seem to be looking back. And, you know, then there are artists who constantly seem to be in motion going forward. And you've always seemed to be one of the latter, you know. So the idea of pausing, looking back, and, you know, indulging in a little nostalgia, but calling it Nostalgia Kills, there's something interesting about that.
I mean, it's a little bit of a memoir in a way.
Yeah.
A little book of short stories. Yeah.
It also lends itself to some pretty striking phrases. On your website where you're selling merch, it says Nostalgia Kills stuff. Which, as sentences go, is pretty dark, Jill. Nostalgia kills stuff.
You know, I was looking at the history of the word nostalgia, and I'm not going to get this right, but it came from an infirmity. A Swiss doctor, and this was in the 1700s, I think, and I could completely get this wrong, but he called it was an infirmity of Swiss soldiers who missed home in the sound of cowbells especially, and it prevented them from being on the battlefield. It was nostalgia.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Nostalgia Kills is the latest from Jill Sobule. The album is out now, and she's here with Dinah Shore Jr.
And you know what? I'm up. You know, people get in touch with me if they have other good band names.
Do they have to be pun-based, or can they just
I think absolutely they do.
You know, I once saw, I actually saw it a lot. There was a sign, I think it might have been, it was on one of the public places here in New York for many years. The sign said, Blankets Kill Grass. Which just struck me as a great name for a punk band, you know? The idea that a blanket, this warm, friendly, comfy, cozy thing, is actually a killing machine.
Wow. That just takes everything. That's a hard band. That is a really hard band.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
All right, so it's Dinah Shore Jr. for today, then.
And tomorrow it's going to be Mini Pearl Jam.
But that's not happening in this room tomorrow. No.
No.
What's happening now? You're going to do this one acoustic, this next song?
Yeah.
So this is called Island of Lost Things, and this, too, is one of these songs. I mean, I guess I'll just come right out and ask, was this a concept album? Did you...
Well, this is what's interesting is that I went to Ben Lee.
The producer.
The producer, artist. Mm. And I said, Ben, help me. I had 100 songs, you know, help me curate. And he picked the ones that were, it's interesting, the ones he picked were kind of the most introspective, contemplative, and had that kind of, so... He helped me create this record. It was interesting. It could have been a completely different record. It could have been a more up-tempo. And I'm really glad he did this one, because I feel it. I feel it. I'm really proud of this one.
All right. Well, let's hear this acoustic performance of Island of Lost
Island
Things.
Island of Lost Things, yes. I lost my keys, I lost my heart, lost my car in the parking lot, lost my voice, but can hear us sing from the Island of Lost Things. I lost my phone, I lost my way, lost the hours of the day. Grandma's ring swirled down the drain to the Island of Lost Things, Island of Lost Things. I lost my shirt, I lost my aim, lost the person I could blame. I wish I could recall his name, the Island of Lost Things. My mom was not a hoarder, she threw everything away. My 45's my favorite toys, shoebox full of Polaroids, plastic on the good couch, everything was clean. A vacuum bag of treasures on the Island of Lost Things. I lost my wallet, my ID, someone else becoming me. My girlfriend somewhere on the seas to the Island of Lost Things. I'd like to book a trip there, and maybe I could find, traipsing through the ruins, the dream I left behind. I'd put it in my pocket and I'd clip its wings, so we could never fly again to the Island of Lost Things. Lost my pop, I lost my fizz, oh, the wonder that I miss. I miss the taste of your sweet kiss, the Island of Lost Things. And if you ever go there, call me if you find what happened to my true love, the one I left behind. Is she underneath the palm tree, staring out to sea, spinning my old records on the Island of Lost Things? I lost my keys, I lost my heart, I lost my car in the parking lot, lost my voice but can hear sing from the Island of Lost Things.
That is Jill Sobule. Very different sound on this song from the first one that she played, and different yet again from the version that's on the record on Nostalgia Kills. That is called Island of Lost Things. It's a lovely song in either version, but the record, you know, the record has a big sound to it.
It's a big, yeah. I wanted it to be, I felt like a lot of my songs, the lyrics are written first.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I looked at this as a soundtrack to the lyrics. Like this one, I wanted to, you know, it had the kind of like fake Hawaiian guitars in it. It was started on the weird sounds I've accumulated in apps on my iPad. So a lot of this record started right on my iPad.
Huh.
Recording it, yeah.
With like samples and stuff?
Or? Just on, put it on GarageBand with strange samples and odd things.
Yeah. But it sounds like there are genuine horns. There are genuine strings.
Right, I put them on afterwards.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Which gives, you know, a lot of the record a really, you said, like a soundtrack. It has a cinematic or a theatrical quality.
Yeah, I wanted this to be that, like that song is a little story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I looked at it as a soundtrack. Yep.
So you mentioned before you're doing this one-woman show. Is it specifically about you in seventh grade, or is that like an entryway to some larger?
It's an entryway. Mm. I mean, we did it at the Pittsburgh City Theater is commissioned in a workshop. We did it here at Joe's Pub, mm-hmm. one reading where it was just me, and in working on it a couple weeks in November, figuring out, do we want to keep it a one-woman show, or do we want to make it more of a theatrical production with other characters? So that is what we're doing. But but it really is, you know, it's been interesting. I talk about nostalgia. So I went on Facebook and I asked a bunch of people who I hadn't talked to since ninth grade, like, so what did you think about me? What do you remember about me? It was really interesting.
Yeah.
I got one from a guy that, and it was in sixth grade, who went out with me, Robbie Naiman. He was, you know, the popular boy, and he asked me to go out and then go steady. And then a week later, dropped me like you do in sixth grade. And you know, I was probably devastated for 2 days. Anyway, he came back and Facebooked me and he goes, oh, Jill, I've been following your career. I'm really proud. I hope you're not still mad at me. I hadn't seen him since eighth grade. And I wrote him back just very Tallulah Bankhead, like, I knew one day you'd come crawling back. Yeah.
So this thing, this show is still kind of in production, it sounds like, still deciding
yes.
what it's going to be
still
when it grows up.
What it is, and I want to write some more songs for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
you're doing this show on October 18th, Thursday night, at Club Cumming, which
Seven.
Is...
Which is a small little club.
The actor Alan Cumming's
yes,
place.
Yes, it's his place. He's great.
They say it's like a queer cabaret sort of place, but it's everybody.
Amazing. It is. I mean, and you never know what you're going to get. Like, I'll go there and there'll be this amazing new kind of strange jazz hybrid. And then you'll see a drag show, and then you'll see a singer-songwriter. And then one time after I played, a guy who paints portraits with his penis. That's just all I want to say. It's a lot of variety. And he did my portrait. I mean, you know, I sat for it. It's kind of great.
Okay.
I know. Not a lot of detail.
Yeah.
But.
Family show.
A family show. Well, yeah, it's 7 o'clock. They won't. Families can come. They won't have. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It comes later. But what I was trying to say is a lot of variety,
yes.
and all of it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this a place where you can go to workshop some of the material you're thinking about for F Word 7th grade?
Well, I could do that. I could also, we did it at Joe's.
Right, Joe's
Public,
Pub, yeah.
But yes, I probably will do some songs. There's songs even with Dinah Shore Jr., who's going to be there with me. And it's going to be a fun show because we're going to rock out, and we don't really rehearse that much. So we're like last night, we spent half our rehearsal just making up stuff. So we're going to make up songs on the spot.
Nice. All right. Now, the song you're going to do next, called I Don't Want to Wake Up, has a truly bizarre video that goes with it. It almost looks like, do you know the films of Georges Méliès, the guy who did Trip to the Moon around 1900
yes.
or so? I mean, it looks like...
Well, interesting enough, I was Googling dream scenes from silent movies. And I was looking at his, the moonshot with
yeah.
the rocket, those are not public domain, but I found some ones we could use. So we used that and...
So those really are Méliès
films. Contemporary.
A contemporary.
Okay. And then there was an Alice in Wonderland anti-drug. The other one is an anti-drug movie from the 60s.
Yeah, which is just as trippy as the,
oh,
the
man.
Old French
those
thing.
Those anti-drug stuff, when I was a kid, it was like it just made me want to do drugs.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, completely.
And so on your website, you recount briefly, without much detail, the first time you took mushrooms, which was, am I remembering this correctly, to see Alice Cooper play?
Yeah, get this. We went, oh my God. I was eighth grade. I can't believe it. We went to go see Well, before we went to see Alice Cooper's Billion Dollar Baby show, we went to go see Soylent Green.
Wow.
And you'd think it would have been a really horrible trip, but I remember it as the best day of my life.
So where did the mushrooms come before Soylent Green or between Soylent Green and Alice Cooper?
During.
During.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. So as bad as seventh grade was for you, it sounds like eighth grade was awesome.
That day. Just that day.
All right. So so how does that play into this song?
Well, though? This song, I want to also give a shout out to Robin Eaton, who wrote this with me. But originally the idea was I hadn't done mushrooms in years and years and years, and this has been also this record follows a really tough year of loss, you know, the 2 years of losing both parents, of ending a 10-year relationship, moving, and you know, I got into a bit of a funk, and I'd been reading in all the fancy intellectual magazines, from Harper's to Atlantic. Hey, people are doing this microdosing or this thing. So I thought I'd give it a whirl and just try it a couple times. And well, this song is kind of
the result of one of those.
One of the results of this. But at the same time, I was reading a lot of Old Testament. So you decide if it's a good trip or a bad trip.
All right, let's hear the song. It's called I Don't Want to Wake Up. It comes from Jill Sobule's latest album called Nostalgia Kills.
Oh, my Lord, I think I saw the light. In the kitchen, blinking oh so bright. And Noah, there was an angel making angel dust. She said, go grab your blanket, and you can come with us. I don't want to wake up. Oh, I don't want to wake up. I don't want to wake up. Don't wanna wake up.
Jill Sobule with a song called I Don't Want to Wake Up from her latest album called Nostalgia Kills. So When You Rise, which is it? Is it the headache or Reborn?
I was a little reborn because you know what? I moved out of L.A. and moved to New York City.
Good for you.
Yeah.
As a lifelong New Yorker, I may not be the most impartial person to tell that to, but I think that's a good move.
It was a good move.
Yeah.
I do feel reborn.
And so the results on this new record, the forthcoming show that might or might not be one woman, but is called
Hashtag
F-word, seventh grade. When do you think that will achieve its ultimate form?
I'm going to find out in November.
Right.
We're going to work on it. This theater thing takes a lot of time.
This is not the first time you've done theater, is it?
Oh, no. Last year, there was a musical I worked on that the undergrad program at Tisch, NYU, they did. So I was out here last winter. Yeah. I write stories, so it seems like a good thing for me to do. In a kind
And do you microdose before you write those stories, or is
no,
was that a one-time?
No, I haven't done that since, but now that you mention it. Guys, what are you guys doing after the show?
Worked out pretty well for you the first time. So.
I know. I had a cousin say, you should do it a lot more in that voice. I really shouldn't say it, but you should do that a lot more.
Jill Sobule with the band here in our studio. October 18th at Club Cumming in the East Village. Nostalgia Kills is the record. Jill, great to see you again. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's such a joy to be on this show. Thank you.
This is Soundcheck.
There's nothing I can do. I could hold my breath for one whole year. Drown a hammer head with tears.
That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Check us out at newsounds.org for other performances, in-studio videos, gig alerts, weekly music roundups, and more. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. Our video producer is Justin Sergi. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.